It's your Breakfast with Benz podcast for today. Tim Benz along with you, as always, here at Trib Live. The 105th PGA Championship taking place at Oak Hill Country Club starts on Thursday. It's the second major of the year. We always like to talk to Brian Taylor from Real Golf Radio before every major championship. Weren't able to hook up for the Masters because I was on vacation, so I didn't pay as much attention to the Masters as I normally do. I didn't have the chance to catch up with Brian before it, but we have Brian now, and I know Brian tracks every major, in fact, every tournament all year long for Real Golf Radio. And Brian, understand in Rochester, it feels very familiar to what I'm used to in upstate New York this time of year, where it actually snowed on Mother's Day and my graduation from Syracuse. I guess you're getting a little of that today, huh?
Yeah, hopefully not the snow, though, Tim. But it feels like it's cold enough to snow out there for sure. So, yeah, you know what? Look, when the PGA moved the championship from August to May a few years ago, this was one of the venues that was on the schedule that was talked about. You know, what's Oak Hill going to be like? What's Rochester going to be like in May versus in August? And, you know, we're experiencing a little bit of that right now. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's part of it, right? I mean, it's an outdoor sport. It's something that the players have to deal with. This golf course is going to present all kinds of challenges, and now they're going to have to deal with some wind and cold air.
I read that from some of the players. Now, have you been to Oak Hill before? Have you been to this course previously?
So it's a bit of a homecoming for us. Bob and I started syndication of Real Golf Radio back in 2003, and this was our debut on CBS Sports Radio and Westwood One on the play-by-play coverage of the 2003 Open PGA Championship here at Oak Hill. So, yeah, I was stationed on the 16th hole, which doesn't look anything like it did 20 years ago. And the golf course has been completely redesigned. And so it's a bit of a homecoming. It's fun to be back here. I can't believe it's been 20 years. But at the same time, the golf course, through the redesign a few years ago, looks entirely different. Other than the par 70 on the golf course, on the scorecard, it is completely different.
Justin Thomas said that he likes the golf course, said it's old school. Describe it for me in your words.
Yeah, I liked what Justin said. You know, he said he really likes the golf courses in the Northeast, and I agree with him. When you think about just classic championship golf course layouts, you think Northeast, you think upstate New York, you think, you know, Pennsylvania, you think New Jersey. There just is some terrific layouts, you know, from Wingfoot to, you know, Marion and up here to Oak Hill. It's just it's a great spot. This is the redesign. So what I remember from 20 years ago was deep, deep rough. And they do have thick rough. I wouldn't say it's quite as deep as it was, but the golf course is going to challenge players in other ways. With the redesign, you're seeing, you know, really tightly mowed runoff areas off the green. Greens that sit up on platforms with, if you miss, it's going to roll down. And that's one thing, if it rolls into that tightly mown area, you've got options. You could putt it, you could chip it. But because of the slope and the steepness of it, a lot of these balls are rolling off of that closely mown area just a couple of inches into the heavy rough. And now you're faced with a real challenge. You can't really get a putter on it. So you got to hit a little chip shot, but you got to hit something delicate because you know it's likely to come out hot. And if it comes out hot, it's going to skip all the way across the green. Players are talking about avoiding doubles and triple bogeys. You don't usually hear the best players in the world even understand the word triple bogey. But this is one of those golf courses with really long length, narrow fairways, and some really, just challenging putting surfaces that are awaiting approach shots and all the defense around it from tough bunkers and those mown areas that slide off. I think it's going to be a real, real tough test. 10 years ago when Jason Duffner won here, he finished at 10 under par. He shot 63 that week. And I don't think you're going to see anything like that, especially these conditions. I think, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 under would look real good right now.
Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio, with us here in the Breakfast with Benz podcast, talking about the PGA Championships starting up on Thursday. The 17th and 18th holes, can we get into those specifically? Because I read a lot of comments from the golfers about how challenging those might be, especially coming down the stretch of the course.
Yeah, last night we went out and walked those holes specifically. We went around 15, 16, 17, and 18. And Matt Kuchar was out practicing by himself with his caddy. And we watched how he played, and he dropped some balls into the rough, hit some shots out of the rough. It's interesting. So one of the things that you do have is some openings into the greens. And I saw him practicing shots where he was hitting these kind of chunk and runs out of that, because you can't, the ball comes out dead for all intents and purposes out of this rough when you're trying to hit it with any kind of an iron, you know, outside of a short wedge or something. And so he was trying to chase them up. The problem is the openings just aren't that big. I mean, they're real narrow. 17 was one of those greens that I mentioned that has this extreme runoff area. And if I can, I'm going to post some of the video that we took of Cooch last night. He tried chipping. He actually chipped pretty effectively off of the short stuff is what kind of what I was referencing. But he also tried cutting off of the short stuff. And the mounds behind 17 are so steep that, you know, three or four times he tried, he was not successful in hitting it hard enough to get up the slope and not have it roll back down to his feet. So, I like I said, 17 is long. It's over five. Those last three holes are going to play over 1,500 yards coming in, and they're all par fours. So it's just going to be tough. Tony Finau said earlier in the week that, you know, he's hitting driver, and it's like one of the longest players on tour, and he's hitting 5 and 6 irons into these greens, and it's kind of funny to hear him say it. You know, that's not unusual for most of us normal golfers who are out there hitting 5 or 6 irons into par fours. He said, I'm used to hitting 5 or 6 irons into par fives, not into par fours. So those are two difficult holes to play. The second shot, the approach shot into 18, is extremely uphill, sits up on this platform. It's just super cool. I mean, I say super cool. I don't have to play it. It's super cool to see what the challenge is that's facing these guys this week.
Justin Thomas won this last year. He came from 7 strokes back. I'm seeing him at plus 2,500 on BetRivers, which is the sports book that I do my podcasts for. That's in about 7th or 8th place on the board. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite at plus 700. And then there's John Rahm at plus 750 in 2nd place on the board after he won the Masters. Talk to me, first of all, Brian, about Thomas, and then those two guys, Scheffler and Rahm, their chances of winning this. Can Rahm go back-to-back?
Well, yeah, JT going back-to-back, Rahm going back-to-back majors.
Back-to-back,
right?
Majors, yeah, and then Justin Thomas going exactly. Back-to-back with this one, right, yeah.
Right, so, you know, JT would join an elite group with a 3-time PGA champion winner, right? So, and going back-to-back, it just doesn't happen very often, back-to-back, you know, major wins in the same major. As far as back-to-back with Rahm, you know, you're talking about what I guess Jordan Spieth did it back in 2015. He won the first two, although back then it was the U.S. Open, and then went to the Open Championship and was just coming down, you know, at the old course in St. Andrews, and was what I think on the last hole needed to make a birdie and wasn't able to do it to get into a playoff that year. So, you know, it's very rare. I will say, listening to both JT and Rahm, I think Rahm is a little more giddy about his chances. You know, he was asked how he was feeling about his game. He's won 4 times in the Masters champion, and he just almost giggled when he was asked that, and then started saying basically, yeah, I feel really good right now. I'm super confident with my game. I'm excited to be here. And let's go to Rory McIlroy. Rory was asked, do you like the cadence of having the majors, you know, all like this, you know, where you go from April, May, June, July? And he said it's a double-edged sword. And yet he didn't allow himself mentally to talk about the wrong side of that edge. He only talked about the edge that if you're hot, you can clip off a couple of 3, you know, in a span because you're playing well. And I think if I was reading Rory right, he's not really feeling like his game's in that spot. John Rahm, on the other hand, he had that feeling that Rory was talking about. He had the right edge of that sword. So I really liked Rahm's chances this week. It's hard not to go chalk. I mean, both him and Scottie Scheffler are playing terrific golf. Both of them are driving the ball extremely well. Both of them are hitting a lot of greens, and they're both putting well. So this is going to test all facets of the game. JT, you asked about JT. I don't think JT is a bad pick. JT's vibe to me came off a little bit more blue collar, a little bit more like I'm here for some business. I got some work to do. Maybe not quite as relaxed or confident as what I saw out of the top 2 players in the world. But I think in a lot of ways, you look at this and you say Jack Nicklaus won the PGA Championship here in 1980, and he set a record. And then you look at Jason Duffner and Sean McKeel as champions of the PGA Championship here on the same golf course, and you say that doesn't add up. Duff and McKeel don't equal Jack Nicklaus, right? So you start looking, and what we did on our show last week was this: okay, give me a Jack Nicklaus pick this week, and then give me a Duff pick this week. And that's kind of the way we went with it and had some fun with it that way. But I don't think you can go wrong if you're betting chalk. I think it's a safe bet. But I do think there are some players that are flying under the radar that might be a good Duff pick this week.
How about Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson? They did so well at the Masters. What about those guys this week? And what about the rub between the LIV Tour and PGA?
You know, at the Masters, the Masters tournament, I'm sure the officials made a point to say, hey, here's the expectations that we're going to have here. This is about the Masters, and the players obliged. There really was no back and forth between LIV and PGA Tour players at Augusta. They all said, look, the Masters is bigger than all this stuff. We're just, you know, happy to be here. We got the best players in the world all competing for the greatest prize. And for the most part, that's kind of been the sentiment here. It feels like maybe the media feels a little more entitled or free to ask some of the questions here than they did at Augusta. But Rory, who's been kind of the spokesman for the PGA Tour, he wasn't having it. He basically gave one-word answers. He was direct in saying, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And that probably stems a little bit from, you know, the fact that I think it's taken a toll on him. It's a lot of energy that's put into discussing the tour versus LIV over the last year. And he, you know, he hasn't won a major since 2014 when he won the PGA Championship at Valhalla. So he's anxious to get back into winning form, major championship winning form. And I think maybe he feels like putting some of this LIV stuff behind him might enable him to channel his energy into his golf instead of the discussions. As far as Brooks and Phil themselves, look, Phil Mickelson's back. Brooks was impressive. There's no doubt about it at the Masters. Phil Mickelson put on one of those, you know, past champion, three-time Masters champion performances on the final day in that 65. It was super impressive. I don't know that you can say that means Phil's back. The rest of his body of work has been not good. I mean, even against only 47 other players on the LIV Tour, he just hasn't played great golf other than that round in the Masters. So hats off to Phil. He also caught lightning in a bottle 2 years ago. He won at the PGA Championship, becoming the oldest major winner. He wasn't able to be back here last year, so this is a bit of a return for him. I wouldn't put a ton of stock into Phil. I think this is going to be a young guy that's going to win this week. It's just going to be that hard and demanding. And Brooks Koepka certainly has the firepower to do it. I just don't watch enough of Brooks. I don't have enough on him to say, you know, where I would put him. I think if you could get him with some pretty good odds, I would take him. But I don't know. He's just still a bit of a question mark. But he's a two-time winner of this event, and he's the four-time major champion. So it's just, I mean, I'm guessing you're with me. You're probably not watching a lot of CW right now and a lot of LIV golf. And so it's kind of hard to really say where I would put Brooks.
Well, Brooks is to win plus 2,000. Top five, he's plus 450. Top 10, plus 225. And then top 20 is plus 100.
That's probably where he should be based on his career. I don't know if those numbers are a little inflated due to career versus form, but he certainly showed us something being in contention. Although I was shocked. The Brooks kept him.
And by the way, Brian, all those odds, just for the sake of comps, are nearly identical to Finau and just a shade more narrow than Thomas.
The Brooks Koepka that came out here and stomped on everybody and kind of had a whatever attitude and like, this is golf is not hard kind of approach and just go out and win majors, clip off two U.S. Opens and two PGAs in span of what, 3 years, 4 years. That guy faded away in the final round of the Masters, which was surprising to me. So I don't know. Top five, top 10 might be a decent bet. Win. I don't know if I'd put my money on him to win.
Give me a dark horse to win or at least top five. Give me somebody who's a little bit down the board that hasn't been getting a lot of play.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys that you could look at. In our show last week, we had Ricky Fowler was mentioned. I think that's an interesting pick. I'm not sure I'm quite ready to go there.
Fowler is plus 5,000 to win and plus 1,000 to be top five. So it's
okay,
a good payout.
There you go. Yeah, so it's a good payout. Value-wise, Tony Finau, I don't think he's a dark horse this week, but Tony is doing the things that you have to do, I think, around this golf course. He hits fairways, he hits greens, he hits it long. He seems due. He's won recently. Obviously, he's from Utah. I've covered him since he was a kid, so I'd certainly have some bias there. But, you know, he's a guy that I'm looking at. Tom Kim's been talked a lot about. I think that's kind of an interesting one. Let me pull up my notes here on who else I've got here.
Kim, while you're doing that, is plus 6,000 to win. He's plus 1,100 to be top five and plus 550 to be in the top 10.
Okay, and here's my one that I'll give you that I threw out. This is my duff pick from Saturday's show, and I'd be interested to see what his odds are. Tom Hoagie, he has four top 10s this season, tied for third of the players last year, and he leads the tour in strokes gained approach, tied for ninth last year in Tulsa. I think that Tom Hoagie's a guy that's kind of trending. I would think he's probably a pretty good, interesting value.
That would be a good long shot bet. In fact, you can get him at plus 600 if you just want to go top 20. That's $100 to win 600. If you want to get him into the top 10, you can get him at plus 1600. So that's $100 to win 1600 bucks, plus 4500 to be in the top five, and then plus 1750 to win the whole thing. So he would be a great payout, Brian. That's a good one.
So there you go. I like Hoagie. Tommy Fleetwood's been trending a little. Oh, here's another one. Tyrrell Hatton. What's Tyrrell Hatton at? Because that guy is trending, and I like his stats as well. I think he's a guy that could be one of those first-time major winners.
All right, I'm going to have to look that one up.
So Tyrrell Hatton's got a win on the PGA Tour, but he's been trending. It seems like every leaderboard I look at, if you're watching the PGA Tour on a weekly basis, he's there. He's fifth in strokes gained total. He's 11th strokes gained off the tee. 11th in strokes gained approach the green. He's 25th in putting. When I look at that, he's a complete player, right? You got a guy that's hitting it nicely off the tee. He's hitting it into the green, and he's putting well, and he's there. He's fiery. This is going to be a bit of a frustrating golf course. Maybe he can match frustration with his energy and pull something off this week. But, you know, he's a guy that he's had five top tens already this year. Tyrrell Hatton's, he's going to be a Ryder Cup stalwart. There's no question about it. And I think he could make some noise this week.
And actually, his odds aren't all that long. They're right there with Justin Thomas and Jason Day. He's at plus 2,800 to win, plus 600 for the top five, plus 300 for the top 10, and plus 138 for the top 20. So, hey, that's a good little top 20 bet there, plus 138. Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. I don't often say this with sincerity, but enjoy Rochester, especially this time of year. But it's getting better. It gets better usually up there around, like, late June. July, upstate New York is really nice, believe it or not. That's the perfect time for it. So
it's beautiful here. It's just a little chilly today, but otherwise I'll enjoy. Hey, little public service announcement. Jason Day in his press conference today said that he hasn't played a practice round here, and he probably won't before he tees it up. So that's a big, like, I don't know.
So take him out of your wheels. Yeah, take him off of your fantasy team.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going blind on this one. So, yeah, there you go.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We'll do it again before the U.S. Open, all right?
You got it. L.A. North is going to be special.
Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio here in the Breakfast with Ben's podcast.